702 and Cape Talk.
Glimpse online
at 702.co.za
and capetalk.co.za.
It is generally accepted that breastfeeding can play an especially important role in the early life of a young child's nutrition. It can benefit children's future school performance as well as economic prospects in later life, as well as the mother's health. Health authorities across the world endorse, of course, the World Health Organization's recommendation that newborns should, where possible, exclusively breastfeed from the first hour of life until at least 6 months of age. Recent studies, though, show that the global commercial milk formula sales are booming, almost doubling in about 14 years, total sales growing from 1 million tons to 2.1 million tons between 2005 and 2019. What does this mean, we wonder? We now turn to lactation consultant and national spokesperson for the Association of Dietetics in South Africa. That's Lerato Khatebe Ntsimane. Lerato, very good morning. Thank you very much for waking up early this Thursday morning to join us.
Good morning, Africa. Thanks for having me this morning.
It is a worrying study, is it not? Look, there's nothing wrong with feeding your child, I suppose, formula milk, right? Or milk formula, as it's called. But I'm hoping that more and more parents are opting for the proven healthier option of having your child stay exclusively breastfed for as long as possible.
Yes, it is a very, very worrying study. And what is exceptionally worrying about it is that, you know, so much has been put in place by so many authorities, as you mentioned, the WHO, the Department of Health, and so many other entities around the country have put so much in place to try, encourage, and promote breastfeeding as the best option for mothers. But we seem to have so much still falling through the cracks despite all the work that's been put in to promote and protect breastfeeding. So I guess it is alarming, but it's also one of those things that is a rude awakening to get us to remember that it is something that we must continuously work towards. We can't get to a comfort zone where we think, okay, the checks and balances are in place, the code is in place to prevent marketing of breast milk substitutes, or that's what we call them, breast milk substitutes. And we can't just become complacent.
What is the situation in South Africa, Lerato? Because the countries or regions, rather, of the world that are of concern, according to this report, the Middle East, North Africa, Eastern Europe, Central Asia, and parts of Latin America. The only thing that these places have in common is the fact that they are mainly highly populated countries who are opting for formula milk as opposed to continuing with breastfeeding. What is the status in South Africa as far as popularity of breastfeeding is concerned?
So what I'm thinking is actually currently happening is that the authorities are doing a lot. So what's happening is that, like, the code is in place, which means no one's allowed to advertise formula or breast milk substitutes. No one's allowed to advertise formula or breast milk substitutes, but there's certain things that are falling through the cracks, as I mentioned. And I think one of those things is that what I call the guilty mom syndrome. So what happens is breastfeeding is very difficult. Breastfeeding needs a lot of support and needs moms to have a lot of support in order for it to become successful. And so a lot of moms struggle with breastfeeding, struggle with in the beginning, you know, when certain things are not going right, opt then for breast milk substitutes. And then what happens is you have this culture that kind of grows of the guilty mom syndrome, where when another mother sees another mother going through the struggles that they went through with breastfeeding, the first thing they do is then they recommend that, you know what, this was a solution for me, try it. I know you want to breastfeed. I also wanted to breastfeed, but this ends up working for me. And so that is kind of what is probably growing bigger and bigger and bigger. And because it happens, behind closed doors, it's very difficult to control and it's very difficult to intervene. What we're needing to get the growth of breastfeeding is that moms understand that you might have opted for formula and a breast milk substitute. But whenever you do see a mother struggling, try to get them the support that you realize you did not have that resulted in you having to opt for formula. So speak to people. There's so many institutions, there's so many resources available to try, assist and help moms to continue breastfeeding and to choose breastfeeding as an option.
In an urban setting, these are challenges that many women who have recently had children highlight to me. You know, they have to go back to work. They're only allowed 4 months of maternity leave, which is the general practice in South Africa. Many mothers would probably wait until, let's say, about 2 weeks before they are due to give birth to maximize the amount of time that they are spending at home. But those first couple of weeks after they have to return to work become quite difficult for the mother, because yes, you might express milk and look for opportunities in your work environment and privacy that comes with that in that matter for you to express that milk, but not all working environments can offer such facilities.
Yes, so that is something that does play a role tremendously. But what we're also finding is that, so the current statistics that are being collected in South Africa, we've got a statistic that is collected at the child's 6 weeks immunization. And even at the child's 6 weeks immunization, we're finding that exclusive breastfeeding rates are less than 30%. So, and at the moment, in terms of the country, it is mandated that no mother can go back to work and should is allowed to go back to work before 6 weeks. So everybody has a mandatory 6 weeks maternity leave that is given. And then after 6 weeks, it varies what happens with a lot of mothers. And some mothers are going back as early as 6 weeks. But as we mentioned, to say that given that the rates at 6 weeks are so low, I'm inclined to believe that it's slightly more of a problem than, you know, having to go back to work. It's problems that are actually creeping in from day one, from the birth of the child, where some hospitals and some facilities are not baby-friendly. So the department has a baby-friendly initiative, which has strict protocols that dictate how the mother and baby should be treated from the time that the baby is born. So mother and baby should not be separated at all between delivery and the first hour of birth, no matter what happens. Yes, we know that there are emergencies that might happen or a mother may complicate or whatever. Those are exceptional cases. But we're literally finding in most instances, the mother is pulled away and dragged into recovery wards while the baby is shipped off to a nursery, and they're then only joined again after an hour. And that first hour after birth is critical. Mother and baby need to try have skin-to-skin contact, allow the baby to latch and assist and support the latching in that first hour without introducing any solids as well, so or any sort of fluids and formula into the baby. What's happening in a lot of hospitals as well is babies are getting suctioned, and after the suctioning, they're given, you know, some solutions. Sometimes they're given a bit of formula, especially if the mother's taking some time to recover. So in the fear of hypoglycemia, which is the child's blood sugar dropping, the baby is given other things, which then interrupts and interferes with that hour and what needs to happen in that first hour of birth, which has consequences for almost the entire journey of that mother's breastfeeding journey up to then. And, you know, so that's why I'm saying that some of the difficulties and some of the challenges that are happening as early as birth. Wow. Even shortly after birth, where some mothers are given that hour, you find the baby's removed. breast mother-baby hospital initiative says that mother and child should not be separated. Let the mother and the baby sleep in the same room. I get moms get tired after birth. The mother can be very tired. But, you know, bring in support mechanisms that allow the mother to still room in and have her baby sleep in the same room so that she can get adjusted to the child's cues for breastfeeding and learn. There's cues that you learn in the first night of sleeping with your baby to say, oh, when he does this, it's this, when he does this. And so, yes, that's what I'm saying, that I think it's now a little bit of a cop-out that we're choosing to say that it's about mothers going back to work after 6 months, after 4 months. But it's actually that we failed mothers early on in their breastfeeding journey, that by the time 4 months comes and they're now got like serious challenges, there's no way that mother can keep up with the demands of expressing, because expressing is very difficult. It's a very different mechanism of getting milk out of the breast compared to when the child is latched.
Yeah.
And so if you have not been able to maintain and continue breastfeeding in that 4 months, by the time you go back to work, your ability to express enough will be diminished.
Parting question from me, Lerato. It's actually a question from Errol, one of the listeners, saying, morning, Africa, why is formula milk so expensive? Surely by now it must be cost effective. Do you happen to know why it costs so much money to buy whatever the general weight is of a tub of breast milk replacement formula?
Yeah, it's one of those things that it's a commodity, and there's no laws that stipulate, you know, where, how much you're allowed to charge for it. So it's literally at a willing buyer, willing seller prices. And I for one think that's part of what needs to be done first, is to kind of control the cost of it, because there are people who may need formula and genuinely need formula. But yes, The formula feeding companies are out to make a profit, and the biggest profit that they can make. So they are not really bothered about, you know, the affordability. And of those things where they know also that once you've chosen that option, you've got no other choice but to give the child formula. And so, and every mother or every parent wants to give the child the best they can give. And so, yeah, it also borders on some levels of extortion, for lack of a better word, where once I've chosen this option, once, you know, I have to cough up whatever it costs in order to feed my child, and parents sacrifice family budgets, that sacrifice so much in order to be able to afford that and give the child what they feel is best for the child, especially when that mom guilt falls in, where you feel, I've already failed them in this aspect. So I also try to make up best way I can for feeling like they failed. And no mother should ever feel like they failed for not being able to breastfeed.